Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
and welcome to the Hogan Era Podcast. I'm your host, JP John Boz, right here on the TMPT feed, a part of the two-man power trip of wrestling's podcasting empire. I am, of course, the one-man power trip that runs the two-man power trip. Each and every week here on the show, we're talking about some of the greatest moments, matches, and feuds of the greatest era ever in the history of the business. 1984 to 1993 in the WWF. So many people refer to it as the Golden Era. It is, of course, the Hogan Era, the era that made Vince McMahon into a retired billionaire, the era that launched so many careers, so many stars, and quite frankly, so many fandoms as well. Not only are we talking about the immortal Hulk Hogan, we're also talking about other guys of the era, like Rowdy Roddy Piper, Macho Man Randy Savage, The Undertaker, Sid Justice, Sergeant Slaughter, Big John Studd, and so many others. Also talking about some great tag teams, some great Intercontinental champions, some great gimmicks, and some bad gimmicks, and some random tag teams, and some enhancement talent as well. This week, going to be talking about one of the great tag teams of the era, and a tag team that in that era maybe didn't get enough time, maybe a tag team of that era that should have and could have done more. I love this tag team. It is, of course, Hercules and Paul Roma, known as Power and Glory. In 1990, as we know, deep in the heart of the Hogan era, Paul Roma was really with the Young Stallions and Jim Powers. They break apart. By the way, that'll be a future episode, hint, hint, maybe coming up very soon about the Young Stallions. But they break up, and obviously Paul Roma is kind of used almost in that weird enhancement type role where I talked to Black Bart very recently, and the episode will be out this week as well. But I talked to him about this. It's like you're an underneath enhancement talent, or you're enhancement talent on top, which means you're making big talent money, but you may be doing a lot of jobs on television. And that seemed to be the case with Roma, although he would get wins, you know, over Boris Zukov and different guys as well. So it's not like he was losing all the time, but him and Jim Powers were definitely facing a lot of losses in that era. So really, as far as putting a team together, Hercules and Paul Roma, obviously two opposites. But I love that in the tag team. Sometimes I feel like that is needed in a tag team. You get the opposites and the opposites attract. Got the power guy and the finesse guy. Obviously, Hercules, the power guy, and Roma, the finesse guy. But Paul Roma will lose to Dino Bravo on an episode of Superstars in the summer of 1990. Jimmy Hart hits him with the megaphone. He gets hit. Due to the blow to the head, Roma was still feeling groggy when the Rockers came out for their scheduled match. Of course, Roma gets mad at the Rockers, and he's soon joined by Hercules, and you know, they would kind of argue and be separated. Then when the Rockers turn around, Roma and Hercules then turn heel and attack the Rockers, and they end up leaving the room together, which is basically kind of forming the team together. Very interesting way they kind of went about it, almost like they're not supposed to team, but then they team. So I liked it. I thought it was cool. Good way to put the team together. Very interesting, very intriguing. But basically, I don't know. I thought it was a cool way to get those two guys together. And one of those things where it doesn't necessarily have to be natural, but they made it feel like it had some sort of basically like a connection to them, like that. It was different. It was cool. The way they put them together, I liked it. I thought it was cool. I thought it was well written and well done as far as putting those two guys together. This new team was formed against eventually Jim Powers, who of course was Roma's old partner, and a rival in Jim Brunzel, in which Hercules and Roma were obviously victorious over those two, and kind of boom starts the team shortly after the attack on the Rockers. However, they start a bit of a mini feud with the Rockers, and then they unveil their new manager, Slick. And Slick then says, hey, new name, new attitude, new everything for these guys. They're going to have matching outfits. They are now known as Power and Glory. If you really look at Power and Glory and their matches and kind of where they started, you could even go back to April of 1990 when they had a match on Primetime Wrestling, defeating Buddy Rose and Ken Johnson. Then those two would defeat in the summer and back all the way fast forward till July. So that was almost like a maybe a little tryout for the team. And then in July, they defeated George Anderson and Troy Williams, then defeated Ricky Rice and Scott Colton, then defeated George Scolan and Mike Daniels. Then on Primetime Wrestling SummerSlam Fever, Utica, New York, they defeated Mark Thomas and Mike Williams. That is August 15th, 1990. Then on a house show, Niagara Falls, right before SummerSlam, the day before, they fight the Hart Foundation to a double countout. So just interesting to note the start of the program here and the start of the tag team, which, of course, was only basically a month or so in. And they immediately go to SummerSlam 1990. The Heat returns Philly Spectrum and Philly PA 827-1990. And they have the match, which is technically the opening match of the night, Power Glory, with Slick, of course, defeated the Rockers, Marty and Sean, in about 6 minutes. An injury angle, of course, was a big part of that match. But really, really good match. Really good stuff. But really kind of put them on a nice path right away as far as, hey, they got a big-time win on SummerSlam Fever, pumping them up, and then they win the opening match of SummerSlam to really kind of pump up the Power and Glory tag team. Kind of shows you that they definitely had something that the World Wrestling Federation, Vince and Pat Patterson and Bruce and the boys, had something that they liked. They felt like, you know, they had some good heat on them. Slick as a manager, obviously no-brainer, was getting a ton of heat. But it's one of those things where I think that they saw something in Power and Glory, and maybe not tag title reign, but I feel like maybe it could have headed in that direction with a little bit of a push. But nonetheless, they would get a ton of wins on Superstars and Wrestling Challenge. They would fight the Rockers on a bunch of house shows. Actually, would be their first defeat, would be all throughout the month of November 1990 before really taking their first loss, about 3 months or so in, and they were winning before taking a bunch of losses to the Rockers. They do beat them at Philly Spectrum, but then lose in Hershey, PA on 11-17-1990. A little bit of double duty there that night for the Rockers and Power and Glory. On Superstars, they get a win, and then Wrestling Challenge, they get even more wins, losing to the Rockers on some more house shows as well. Then when the Survivor Series comes around, very memorable, very cool. They had the Survivor Series elimination match, which would mean the final elimination match that year as well. We're talking about 11-22-1990, Survivor Series 1990, Hartford Civic Center in Hartford, Connecticut. The Visionaries, Hercules, Paul Roma, Rick Martel, and the Warlord defeated the Vipers, Jake the Snake Roberts, Marty, Sean, and Jimmy Snuka, 17 minutes, 45 seconds there. Obviously, every member of the team ended up winning and advancing, which would mean that they go on to the final match, which ended up being a 5-on-3 handicap match. Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, and Tito Santana defeated Hercules, Roma, Martel, Ted DiBiase, and the Warlord in about 9 minutes. The ultimate survivors there were Warrior and the immortal Hulk Hogan. Great to be in a main event match on a huge pay-per-view like Survivor Series. So great on Power and Glory, obviously losing to Hulk and Warrior there. They go and they face the Bushwhackers on some house shows. They get wins there. They get wins over the Rockers as well before taking a few house show losses to the Rockers. Then on 12-7 and 12-8 and 12-10, they're getting championship tag team title matches in Uniondale, in Boston, and Orlando, and they're losing all those matches to the Hart Foundation, but they're losing by disqualification. Of course, more wins over enhancement guys on Superstars and Wrestling Challenge, and then back to facing Neidhart and Bret Hart, the Hart Foundation, for the tag team titles on house shows in Auburn Hills, Michigan, New Haven, Connecticut, Philly Spectrum, and Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada, losing all those matches as well, half by DQ, half via pinfall. Then there's a huge MSG show, 12-28-1990, Madison Square Garden, WWF on the MSG Network. Over 14,000 people in attendance. The main event, of course, Hogan and Tugboat defeating Bravo and Earthquake. The technical main event, which means the match went on last, Roddy Piper defeated Mr. Perfect via countout in a great match. But earlier in that night, Power and Glory wrestled the Rockers, Marty and Sean, to a 20-minute time limit draw. Great match between those two tag teams, and a pretty damn good show as well. When you look at those MSG shows, man, if you can get your hands on some of that footage, if it's on YouTube, if you taped it like I did back in the day, some of those shows are absolutely a golden. Just love that 20-minute time limit draw for two great tag teams during that era. They continue on, and they continue on teaming together, of course, into 1991, losing to the Hart Foundation on a bunch of house shows. Actually, a ton of house shows in a row, losing to the Hart Foundations. So they're getting tag team title matches on house shows, but they are losing. They are a part of a big Superstars 229 in Macon, Georgia, number one contendership Battle Royal, which is, of course, won by the Nasty Boys. Other tag teams in there were Demolition, the Bushwhackers, Legion of Doom, Orient Express, and the Rockers. So star-studded there for sure, but the Nasty Boys would end up becoming the number one contenders for the tag team titles and end up defeating the Hart Foundation at WrestleMania 7. Before WrestleMania 7, though, the Power and Glory team all through the month of February, I mean, talking about every single day almost, is losing to the Hart Foundation on these house shows before finally wrestling house show in Toronto, Ontario, Canada at the Maple Leafs Garden, losing to the Legion of Doom, Road Warrior Hawk, and Road Warrior Animal. Superstars and Wrestling Challenge again getting some more victories before we roll into WrestleMania 7. Superstars and Stripes Forever at the Los Angeles Memorial Sports Arena in LA, out there in Cali, 3/24/1991. Legion of Doom, Hawk, and Animal defeated Power and Glory in only 1 minute. Of course, due to some time constraints, because there were so many matches on that show, they had to kind of cut that one short. And unfortunately for Power and Glory, their big WrestleMania moment, their big WrestleMania matches against LOD, one of the greatest tag teams of all time, but they lose in 1 minute. So not looking good there for Power and Glory. They get a bunch of victories over the Rockers, including one on Primetime Wrestling on April 15th, 1991, defeating a bunch of enhancement guys on Wrestling Challenge and Wrestling Superstars before defeating the Bushwhackers on Madison Square Garden, the MSG Network, 4/22/91. They defeated the Bushwhackers in 8 minutes and 30 seconds. On a bunch of house shows, though, they lost to the Bushwhackers, then the Hart Foundation, then kind of exchanging wins and losses with the Bushwhackers on house shows as well. Part of the SWS Big Show in Tokyo, Japan, the Rockers defeated Power and Glory 6/7/1991. Then in Nagawa, Japan on 6/10/1991, in a tag team gauntlet match, Revolution, which was Ishikawa and Kabuki, defeated Tenryu and Macho Man Randy Savage, also the team of Yatsu and King Haku, and Power and Glory and the Rockers in a big gauntlet match there. Of course, like I mentioned, won by the Revolution. Then another SWS show, the Rochester Roadblock. Yes, the Roadblock there, and Tugboat lost to Hercules and Paul Roma in Osaka, Japan. As we head back to the States, The Rockers and the Bushwhackers are both beating Power and Glory on a ton of house shows as well. And then we'll go to SummerSlam 1991. The British Bulldog, the Dragon, Ricky Steamboat, a.k.a. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, and the Texas Tornado defeated Power and Glory and the Warlord to start that bad boy off in 11 minutes. SummerSlam 1991, 8/26/91. A match made in heaven, a match made in hell from the Madison Square Garden in New York, New York. Great opener to start SummerSlam 91, but as we could see here, seems like the Power and Glory are kind of fading away and a little bit of a losing streak here. Didn't seem like, you know, had much of a future there. Just felt like they were definitely, I don't know, on their way out, as Paul Roma was kind of on his way out. So basically on 10/3/1991 for the WWF Tag Team Championships, the WWF Battle Royale at the Albert Hall in London, England, Legion of Doom defeated Power and Glory in 9 minutes. Then they lose to the Rockers on a house show. Then they lose to the Rockers on a WWF on Telecinco, which is a TV station out there in Barcelona, Spain. The Rockers defeated Power and Glory in 11 minutes there. Power and Glory actually would defeat the Rockers in South Yorkshire before losing to them in West Midlands, England, and then in Paris, France. And that was their last tag match together. 10-9-1991, the Rockers defeated Power and Glory in Paris, France. Basically, what's going to happen is Roma is going to exit the WWF right then and there, as his contract is basically up and he's done with the WWF right there. Of course, you'll remember later on, he does not really wrestle much until he gets to a WCW in 1993. I know he was dealing with an injury in 92 as well, but he left the WWF, kind of left the business for a little bit, injured a little bit as well, and then returns to WCW in 1993. And of course, as everyone knows, becomes a part of the Four Horsemen. Hercules, though, would stay on a bit, of course, and continue on wrestling for the WWF. Basically all through 1991, becoming a singles wrestler, exchanging wins and losses a lot of the time, before eventually exiting WWF in February of 1992 and heading off to WCW to play the Super Invader under a mask. One of his last matches, I think everybody remember, would be the quick job to Sid Justice, in basically 30 seconds or less at MSG, which is one of the infamous incidents, because he took the powerbomb and then just got right back up 2 seconds later after the pin and walked out, and then basically was gone soon thereafter. So that's the story of Power and Glory. What could have been, definitely could have been a lot more with them, and definitely I saw maybe tag team gold in their future, just because I thought they were that good of a team. But that's the story of Power and Glory in the Hogan era in the WWF. So let's hit the plugs. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the site, patreon.com/TMPT Empire. Also go to TeePublic, TeePublic.com/store/TMPT for more. Thank you everybody for listening. We'll see you right back here next week for a little Hogan era podcast. We'll see you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPT Empire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
We loved the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF, the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Currently in the ring at a total combined weight of 547 pounds, here are the Brooklyn Brawler and his partner, Black Butch.
Well, what an odd couple, Lord Albert Hayes. You got a big man from Texas and a guy from Brooklyn.
Two absolute extremes there. You're right, Tony. I wonder how they got along together as a team. Difficult to imagine.
Their opponents, two very strong, powerful individuals, and also you can throw in Quick, Paul Roma, and the Mighty Hercules, and this has the makings, Lord Albert Hayes, of a great tag team match.
Yes, it does indeed. Although all these pairings here are absolutely new to each other, I would imagine that Hercules and Paul Roma will form together more as a team than their opposition, Black Bart and the Brooklyn Brawler.
Some great strength in that corner. Well done, both men.
And I believe he's really enjoying himself at this juncture. He's done tremendously well against these two. A great power slam there by Hercules. And once again, this team of Hercules and Roma have established their authority.
Watch out, double team here. Sandy Paul over the catapult after the center of the ring and a three count. And wow, maybe for the first time, but it was great for these two.
Here comes a guy, Monsoon, with a bunch of chains. See, if he was smart, he could still be a slave working for DiBiase.
Here is the mighty Hercules and his head coach, Jim McPherson.
Now, Mr. McPherson and Mr. Hercules, you're up against the Orient Express.
Mr. Fuji's latest acquisition and his hopes of bringing the World Wrestling Federation Tag Team title into the Fuji establishment.
Well, I hear when they win that title, they're going to take it back to Japan. And if when they defend it, you're going to have to go for it on their own soil.
No, that's not true.
That's what Fuji told me.
Well, that's maybe what he thinks, but I'm sure that President Jack Tunney
will not let that happen.
You have to defend all over the world, not in just your home territory, in your home country.
They may buy the World Wrestling Federation.
Who? The Japanese, the Orient Express.
Will you stop?
They bought half of Manhattan. Jeez. Brain, obviously, you're not very happy here.
Japanese style, karate, jiu-jitsu.
Oh, the bomber! Nailed it!
Japanese Vegematic.
Forget about it. Very impressive. Here's Mike.
The Orient Express!
Well, see, Hercules made another bad move. Picked another ham and egger for a partner.
Oh, look at this! What is this? The match is over! Come on, ref, step in there!
See, Hercules, you never volunteer, dummy.
Come on, Fuji! Look at this! Get out!
Back, 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 back. It's gone. What a swing Fuji has. Well, you know, Roma's always looked up to Hercules. He's always admired the way Hercules trains. So he's coming to help his pal. Isn't that sweet?
Well, what's wrong with that? These guys have been friends for a long time.
Beaver comes to help his brother.
Give me a break. Every time something good happens, you're always ready to throw in the monkey wrench. Right now, let's take you to the event center.
Standing by right now, Rugged Ronnie Garvin. I think he's having some fun this week.
Being rugged is tough work, but now and then I take a break with my favorite WWF Superstars of Wrestling ice cream bar. Ow!
All right, we're back with more action. Unfortunately, Paul Roma is being helped
from the ring there by the officials. Rama, you recall just a moment ago, receiving the megaphone in the back of the head. Rocker's coming over to help him out a little bit. Ring announcer a little premature introducing the Rockers.
Well, they knocked Rome out.
Whoa. What's Roma doing? Little animosity maybe between Roma and the Rockers. I don't know. Look at this. What is going on?
Maybe Roma figures it was the Rockers at Submarine.
No, not hardly.
How do you know? He's been knocked out.
I don't know if he was knocked out or not. Whoa! What is this? What's going down here, Jesse?
I don't know, but the mighty Hercules coming into Roma's defense here.
Hercules is hot, so is Roma. We're supposed to have a match here with the Rockers.
Well, first of all, I think the Rockers are at fault here. What business is it theirs of what happened to Paul Roma? They're coming to...
Whoa, no!
Hercules!
Oh, no! There's no confidence at all! The Rockers! Hercules and Roma on the outside. Here come the officials. Hercules and Roma want to get back in the ring. This is an unscheduled match. Hercules and Roma, hot. But the Rockers, you mean the ones that are really angry. Let's take you to the event center. All right, things have cooled down a little bit here on the inside of the ring. On the outside, I'm not so sure. Hercules and Roma really taking exception to the fact that the Rockers came down and were going to help Paul Roma. I don't understand.
And look what happens here.
We're trying to get a word back to Paul Roma. And I believe standing by is Hercules. Gentlemen.
What? We're not deaf. We can hear you.
Are you jealous of the Rockers? That's the question.
Jealous of the Rockers?
Us?
They should jealous? Be jealous of us. Look at this man. Look at me.
Let me tell you, I'm sick and tired of hearing the people cheer those Rockers when it's us they should be cheering. We're the superior athletes here, and we're going to get it together. We're going to become a team. Yeah.
Well, how about that?
You know, Roma, we're the best and the baddest tag team in the WWF, but we were missing one little thing.
Oh, yeah, but not anymore. Come on in, Slickster.
Listen, it's my pleasure to be associated with these two fine athletes. And believe me, the combination of the Slickster and these two gentlemen is a winning situation. And henceforth, they shall be referred to as power and glory!
People, prepare to meet the future tag team champions of the World Wrestling Federation, Power and Glory!
And we're serving notice on everyone in the World Wrestling Federation!
Especially you, Rockers, you punks! You're gonna be the first to feel the power and the glory!